to in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Hallelujah. Well, I decided to wear all black this morning. We're going to bury our devil.
Yes.
We're going to symbolize a demon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of you that dressed in dark colors like black and gray, amen, tell God thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, because we're going to bury our devil today. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to put our foot on his neck. Hallelujah. And we're not in black because we come to mourn the enemy, but we come to funeralize. We come to put an end. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To something that is so subtle. And certainly we do, again, want to say that, you know, it was a surprise dinner on yesterday too for the members here on yesterday. And so it was, we wanted to surprise each of you in coming out. We didn't tell anybody about it. We just wanted to surprise y'all to come out and give you a pre-Thanksgiving dinner. Wasn't the food scrumptious?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I tell you, it was delicious. Amen. So here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14, and musicians, y'all can be relieved if you want to. Hallelujah. I want you to get this word and give you an opportunity to get your Bibles or get your phones out and turn to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise, our King. We give you praise, our Comforter. My soul does magnify the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift those hands half mass all over this house. Ah, God. It has been delivered of me. Amen. Or delivered unto me in the wee hours. I didn't know why I was getting this. Well, actually, I was getting some other things in the wee hours. This came a little bit earlier this morning, but I didn't know what was to transpire. Again, like I said, I thought Brother Jeremiah was going to bring the word. Amen. But I'm going to definitely touch on what the Holy Spirit has given us on today. In fact, Mom said, our first lady said, "Baby, I saw you ministering this morning." She said, "I didn't know what to make of it because I knew we had a speaker, but I literally saw you preaching this morning." And so certainly the vision that God gave her has come to pass. Amen. Glory be to God. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, King Jesus. We welcome your very presence. We love you. We honor you. We adore and esteem you more than our necessary food. We esteem you highly. There is none other. You are the God of the very God. Hallelujah. You reign and you super reign. You rule and you super rule. And we honor your very presence. We love your presence. We need your presence. We want your presence. Hallelujah. We desire your very presence. Can't live without you. Can't live outside of you, Lord Jesus. We will be nothing but like a ship without a sail. And we honor you right now, Jesus. Majesty, majesty, majesty. Majesty, majesty, majesty. Kingly authority is in the room. Deity is in the house. The Godhead bodily dwells in the midst of us. And we give you praise right now. We bless your holy name right now. We bless your holy name right now, Lord Jesus. Take your glory in this house. Be ye glorified. Be honored. Be honored. Be glorified. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve our praise. You deserve our worship. You deserve our adoration. You deserve our attention. Hallelujah. And we give you praise right now. We wait upon you, Lord Jesus. With great expectancy in our hearts, on our minds. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so honored. We're so honored this morning. We're so honored that you would visit us, that you would inhabit the place here. We're so honored that you would hover over us, that you would tabernacle in this room. We're just so honored that you thought enough of us to stop by this morning. We thank you that you would honor us this morning, that it's not Ichabod on this ministry or Ichabod on this church, that the glory is still with us and the glory has not departed. And we give you praise for your glory. We think it not lightly and we don't take it lightly, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. This little small place, Father, that you would just stop by and you would honor us, that you would honor us, and that you will be here with your stamp of approval, which is your anointing, which is your glory, which is your very presence. And we give you praise for it right now. We bless you for it right now, Lord Jesus. Our soul does magnify you, Lord. Our soul make its boast in you, God. I feel Jesus. He's here right now. Angels are here. Holy Ghost is here. Yeah, God. Take your glory. Take your glory. Take your abode within us. Stand up. Stretch out in us. Have free course in this room. Have free course in our hearts. Glory be to God. Have free course over this conference line. Move upon those that are listening, those that are visiting. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom, for his beauty, from the soles of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. No blemish in him. You know, I started to give title to this message and thought about pretty boys, you know, but I said, well, no, I'm not going to talk about pretty boys this morning. I don't think that's where the Holy Spirit was given this particular message for. But I do want to talk about smiling rebellion. Smiling rebellion. And there's a book that I want to introduce to you that gives so much wonderful information on this particular subject. But it's called Hell's Spells. Hell's Spells. And it's by Jim Riley. Jim Riley. Hell Spells. How to Identify, Take Captive, and Dispel the Weapons of Darkness. So it's entitled Hell Spells by Jim Riley. And it's an awesome book, awesome material here. And the Lord had given us this particular book, first of all, to my wife, who is just a reader. I mean, just has that gift to just go and find books and resources and all types of commentary and paraphernalia, religious paraphernalia, that just such a blessing, that has been such a blessing in our school of the prophets and even in this ministry at large. Much of the information that we even use in School of the Prophets, I can truly attest to the fact that my wife, you know, she does a lot of things behind the scenes. Of course, she does teach in our School of the Prophets. She is one of my teachers. She is one of our licensed, ordained teachers and prophetesses under this ministry. But she is one that really finds a great deal of the material that we use. A great deal of the material, a great deal of the curriculum that we use for the School of the Prophets. And certainly we thank her for that. That's a gift. Sometimes I've watched her that would just go to bookstores and the Spirit of the Lord would just lead her to put her hand right on the material that he is highlighting, subjects and topics that he is highlighting in certain seasons. He will cause her to just go and put her hand right on those types of material. And I certainly said to her often that the mentor that we came up under and was truly trained under, and I'll tell anybody, I was trained under one of the best in the U.S., one of the best scholars in the U.S., and who has a gift for books and materials and paraphernalia and has the ability to start Bible college and has already started a Bible college for many years and a school of the prophets for many years. And so who I think was just and is just before his time, and who has a gift of reading over 300 books a year. You know, just that's a gift to read that many books. Amen. I do good if I can see the morning paper, but amen. He does good in reading over 300 books a year. And I often say to my wife, I said, you really receive that gift from him to go in and dissect so much reading material and commentary. Because you know, the body of Christ want to be gifted, but they don't want to study. I'll see why now. The body of Christ really want to be gifted, but they do not want to get in and dig into God's word and learn God's word and rightly divide God's word, but they want to be anointed. And I'm telling you that the anointing comes through prayer, but it also comes through the word of God, the word of studying God's word, because the word of God is alive.
Yes.
It's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you learn the word, not just learning it, but learning how to apply it. Because there's a lot of folks that can quote scripture from Genesis to the Concordance, but they don't know how to apply it. They don't have the wisdom for the application of God's word, you know, of knowledge, the application of knowledge. And so just because, you know, you can quote scriptures don't mean you have the spirit of that scripture or the wisdom of that scripture. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then you got these folks that are so deep that they'll tell you, all I read is the Bible. I don't get all that other book, all them other books and stuff like that. I just read the Bible. I'm like, how dumb thou art. Really? Really? And there are men and women of God that God has anointed out of, that he anointed men, first of all, this word is God breathed.
Yes.
And he anointed men to write the word, to write the Bible.
Yes.
And just like he anointed men and women of God in the scripture and those men that he anointed to write the Bible, he also anointed authors to write words from the word.
Yes. Yes.
To give understanding from the word.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. But see, it's these folks that's so deep. They're so deep. They're so deep that, you know, they ain't no good to themselves.
That's it. For real.
They have forfeited a lot of opportunities and doors that God will open for them.
Yes.
But because of their deepness.
Yes. Strange fire.
Yeah. Strange fire. Just weird. Spooky spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Spooky spiritual. How you gonna go before kings and queens and presidents and magistrates and you so spooky?
That's it.
The world not gonna receive you. You gotta have wisdom to deal with the world. He that winneth soul is wise. But not only has he called the church to the church, but he's called the church to the marketplaces.
Yeah.
If we don't go in the marketplaces and win the hearts of millionaires and entrepreneurs. Amen.
Yes.
We got to do it with a wisdom.
Yes.
And with a mannerism.
Yes.
That says we know how to conduct ourselves.
Yes.
Not only in the house of God.
Yes.
But we know how to conduct ourselves in the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Look at, who was it? Nathan, I think, the prophet that went before the king. And he didn't just go up, even though King David was in sin. He didn't run up all up in David's face. David, you done sinned against God and you on your way to hell and you know you the one and carrying on like that. He went with great respect to the king because the king was also in a position of authority. And he went with respect to the king. And he won King David's respect. So much so that David would hear him. Amen. And so, you know, I'm sick of these folks that be doing things, you know, just so crazy and then blame it on the Holy Ghost. I was in the spirit. You was in a spirit. It was a spirit. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Amen. It might have been cray cray, you know. Amen. It was a spirit, all right. If you would bring me up. Oh, I see it. I see it up here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, in the NIV, it reads, in all Israel, there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as that of Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Pretty hair, pretty skin. Amen. Just a handsome young man. And there's nothing wrong with looking good. Amen. But don't be so vain that you just so caught up in your looks. Amen. That and so self-absorbed that you don't consider others but yourself. So I want to talk about smiling rebellion. Smiling rebellion. If anything that I know, if there's anything that I know smirkness. I know about smirkness. I grew up in the midst of it all my life, starting from my family household, among my brethren, to as early as preschool, grammar school, middle school, junior high school, and college. If anything, I know about smirkness. God allowed me to have to undergo a great deal of smirkness and craftiness and sly remarks and nice nastiness. Amen. Sarcasm. Mm-hmm. To have to undergo and deal with a lot of that for the most part of my life in growing up. And sometimes when people look at your potential and you don't even have it yet, you haven't even accomplished certain things yet, but they're jealous of your potential. If they're already jealous of your potential, good God, what would they do when you get it? Some folks, they can't handle you being blessed. As long as you are dependent upon them, as long as you need them and you appear to be needy. And let me tell you something, beloved. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. David tells us that if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He didn't say I wouldn't tell you. He just said I wouldn't tell you. You know what I'm saying? He's not just going to tell you. But he didn't say that I wouldn't put it out there, because the same scripture tells us that we have not because we ask not. But there are times that God will not allow you. And you're not being full of pride. But there are times that he won't even allow you to ask for help from certain people. That they may say, had it not been for me, you wouldn't have what you have, or you wouldn't be who you are, and you know, this kind of thing. Say not that no man made you rich. God put you in a position where folks won't be able to get the credit. But I'm telling you, some of you in this upcoming year, you're about to blow up, you're about to prosper, you're about to go up, you're about to be elevated. Oh, glory to God. And then that's when folks going to want to claim you. Don't nobody want to claim no broke. Come on here. What Kanye say? I ain't saying that, you know. I better not quote Kanye from behind the pulpit. Amen. But he did tell us, I ain't calling her a gold digger. Okay, I'll leave her alone. But she ain't messing with no broke. Okay, all right. Don't stop. Don't see, so I lost my two of y'all, right? He ain't saved. See, your papa ain't saved. I will say. Say. Hallelujah. But here it is. Here it is, beloved. Some people They really want to take the credit. And they wait right to the point that you begin to walk in success. Then they want to take the claim. Where were you when I was struggling?
Amen.
Come on now. Where were you when I was going through in my flesh? When it was hard for me and I was dealing with all kinds of struggles and mishaps. Where were you? But it's easy to claim folks when they're successful. Oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. Well, that's what they'll say when you become successful. I had a woman once when we relocated to the Columbus, Georgia area, and really she was just a friend from way back. And she came to my church, and I gave her opportunity to stand up and greet the congregation. And she got up and told the folks, you know, they really are my son and daughter.
Oh, really?
I'm like, no, we not. We are not your son. We're not. You ain't birthed out nothing here. You had absolutely nothing to do with birthing out ministry in me, birthing out integrity in me, birthing out warfare in me. Come on now. Birthing out resistance to evil. Birthing out word and wisdom and revelation. If anything, I was teaching you. Or we was coming up together. But that's what they do. And so it's not when you down and out and broke that you find out, folks. It's when you start to go up. It's when God starts to elevate you. When God starts to elevate you, all of a sudden, here comes the leeches.
Amen.
Come on, Zion. Here comes the bloodsuckers. When God starts to elevate you. Or when God starts to elevate you, those that was with you, when you were both on the same level, they walk away from you. They can't handle your success. Come on now. It was okay when we both were missionaries. We both were deacons.
Yes.
But if God starts to elevate me before he elevates you,
yes.
Can you celebrate?
Yes.
I didn't say tolerate, but can you celebrate?
Yes.
Can you celebrate promotion in me? Success in your brother. Success in your sister. Your brother's accomplishments. Your sister's achievement.
Yes.
Can you celebrate?
Hallelujah.
Or do you get jealous?
Yes.
And stop speaking. And stop calling. Oh, come on, Zion. What happens? What happens when it comes a time to celebrate promotion? Oh, I give God praise in here. And so, I understand smirkness. I understand nice nastiness. Come on here. Smiling faces tell lies. Oh, come on, Zion. And so I get it. I understand sarcasm. Sarcasm. Just ironic statements that have not even on the same page you're on has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about. But all of a sudden they want to bring in their opinion. And you're looking like, where did that come from? What does that have to do with what we're discussing? You just want to make your opinion known. You want to put your point out there. And this is why most churches have cut out testimony service. Folks really took testimony service and just used it for the flesh to be on parade. People used to get up and testify, and the power of God would hit the house. The power of God, because we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We overcome. And not only by the word of our testimony, but we get encouraged.
That's right.
I was so encouraged when you shared that testimony this morning. I was so encouraged to hear what God did for that family and for that man. And that blessed me. Testimony service was supposed to be used to boost the faith of others.
Yes.
Not to make the congregation jealous of one another.
Right.
Not to prove you've been called to preach. Not to get up and throw off on folks. But that's what they started using testimony for. And many churches cut it out. They stopped testimony service. for that very reason, because flesh was on parade. Amen. Now here in our in God's holy writ this morning, the smile of rebellion, or smiling rebellion. Smiling rebellion. Most of us know about Absalom. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord told me. He says, most people, they know about Absalom in the sense of he's noted in the book of Samuel for trying to steal the affection of the people away from his father, David. Amen? That's what you really get and people hear concerning this young man, Absalom, and the ploys of Absalom. But if you just only look at Absalom from that viewpoint, you'll miss it. There were many different character flaws that Absalom operated in. And if we just look at the fact that, you know, he was trying to take the throne away from his dad, you know, that's the obvious and that's open defiance. We understand Absalom for his open defiance, correct? And then too, when people just do what they do in the open, you rather deal with them because you know where they're coming from. Whether they like you or dislike you, you rather deal with them because, you know, rather than dealing with sneaky, backstabbing, two-timing, you know, folks throwing rocks and hide their hand, you know, I'd rather deal with you not liking me and let me know you don't like me than to deal with you with one way in my face and another way behind my back. And so that's so double-minded and that is just so two-faced. So here it is. Absalom was a charmer. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, he says, but this is the area that most people will miss the spirit of Absalom in this season. Because charm has a way. You know, charm is another way for saying being bewitched. Bewitchment. You know. Because see, charm uses flattery and kind words and deeds, but there is a hidden agenda. There is an ulterior motive. The motive is impure. Or the motive is selfish. And so a lot of times you will miss it because they were kind to you or they spoke good of you. The Bible tells us, beware when everybody say good things about you. Yeah, when everybody speaks good of you, the Bible says beware of that. Because your lifestyle, true Christians, and true Christianity, the lifestyle of a true Christian is not going to make everybody shout glad. Some folks are going to become fight mad. They're going to hate you for your morals. They're going to hate you for your standards. Amen. They're not going to like you because you're saved. You know, when I came out of the world, I hung with the in crowd before I got saved. I hung with the in crowd. I hung with the coolest guys of my time amongst my peers, you know, in high school, in junior high. But when I got saved and God drew me away from the crowd and I was no longer accepted and a part of the in crowd, when he moved me away from the in crowd, oh, I give him praise for that. Hallelujah. I noticed that at that particular time when he was detaching me from the popular people and the in crowd people, folks that I thought were friends to the end, ride or die, you know, I really thought they were going to be all right with the fact that, you know, I'm saved now. I thought I was going to rejoice in my salvation. They dogged me out. All of a sudden now, I was the talk among the classmates. I got saved early.
was the talk among the classmates. But see, just getting saved early didn't mean that I avoided. I did a lot by age 16 that most folks don't get a chance to do until they're 35 and 40. Okay, see. Y'all better hear me. So I understood the ways of the world. My mom didn't know how we were doing. We learned how to be sneaky. And do things behind her back that she would never detect unless the Lord told her. See, I'm in the house right now. And so here it is, beloved. When God detached me and shook my lifestyle, shook my livelihood, and changed my mindset. Just a paradigm shift took place in my life. And all of a sudden now I'm radically saved. And I thank God that he did it when he did. Because who knows where I was headed. What would have happened had he not saved me when he did. Oh, I give him praise. I give him praise. And so when he detached me from all of that, I really found out who was with me. Who was with me. You know, prior to getting saved, and I knew the enemy was really trying to draw me back into the world and draw me back into, just lawlessness and worldliness and carnality and all of just trying to pull me back with the in crowd. Prior to that, you paid for all the weed you smoked.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it wasn't free. You paid for it. You had to purchase it. And sometimes among friends, you have to find out, are they using you to be the one to do most of the purchasing? They just want to use you because you're the weed partner. You can get it. Amen. So prior to that, you know, I was purchasing weed and stuff. And here it is. But when I got saved, the way the enemy was trying to trap me was that everybody wanted to offer to me free. Now all of a sudden it's free. And we just want to do this for you, man. And we just want to give you this, man. You know, you my boy, you my ace. And now you just want to ensnare and trap me. But I had to say no to that. I had to say no to what the devil pretended was free. But it came with a cost. It came with a price. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so here it is, beloved, that I was able to say no. I was able to resist the temptation of the enemy. And the more the Spirit of God calls me to resist, the more my testimony begin to hold credibility. Come on now. You can't win, folks, when you're wishy-washy and straddling the fence and saying one minute and talking faith one minute and the next minute you're just as worldly as they are. You're not going to win the unsaved like that. They're not going to come in. They think you ain't settled. That you're not confident and you're not settled in who you are and where you're headed. The world as well as the church, everybody loves what confidence look like.
Yes.
Everybody loves what confidence sound like.
Yes.
Oh, come on here. Yes. When you can walk in any given place, even if it's the marketplaces, even if it's among the elite, the renowned, even if it's among those that have great influence, folks that can be intimidating to everybody else, if you can still go in the midst of them with your head up.
Yes.
And you're confident in what you're saying and who you are and who you serve. They admire that. Strength is one thing that can be admirable from people that are headed somewhere and people that want to be somebody. But folks that are not headed anywhere and folks that are jealous and don't want you to go anywhere, they despise your strength. Can I park it right there? They despise your strength because they want you to be just as weak and just as silly and just as incompetent. Come on here. Just as afraid as they are. Just as confused and just as carnal as they are. You're too sane for some folks. You're too consecrated for some people. You've gotten too holy and too close to God for some people. So they can't get with you. And they can't get along with you. And they don't want to hang with you. It's okay, it's their loss. Because they don't know what you can bring to the table. Just by your holy living. Just by your consecrated life. They don't know what you can bring to the table. And just by you showing up in the midst of their warfare. It can cause things to settle. It can cause the devil to leave. One can put 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to flight. But they don't want you. Because you show them up. Oh, see, they always up like that. Because you show them up. And not that you mean to. You're not going around being judgmental. And you're not going around being arrogant. You don't mean to. It's just you. You just holy. You consecrated. And you love God. And you don't apologize for that. Come on here. You don't apologize for loving God. You don't apologize for a consecrated life. It may make others uncomfortable. Oh, come on, Zion. But it's okay. And what they rather you do is you change. They want you to change. They want you to lower your standards. Thank you for that. They want you to lower your standards. But if we're going to stay and we're going to hang, you're going to come up. You got to come up. As for me and my house. Woo, come on, Zion. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God. And that, see, not only in your household, but take that principle in the workplaces. As for me and my partners. As for me and my co-workers. Oh, come on up in here. If we in business together, it ain't going to be shady. It ain't going to be shaky. It ain't going to be shabby. But it's going to be with integrity. It's going to be godly. If we going to hang, it's going to be godly. You cannot be moved by charm because they're into you. Because they're being kind to you. Because they're flattering you. You cannot be moved by charm. You're not that starving for attention. You're not that starving for attention. A flatterer. A smooth talker. A smooth operator. A Casanova. A gigolo. Can just come in and sweep you away from your assignment in God. You better start telling the devil, I'm not that needy. I'm not that hard up. I think more highly of myself than that. See, the Bible says that we're not to think more highly. They said we couldn't think high. Just don't think more highly. They said you couldn't think high about yourself. It just says don't think no more highly than you ought to. Oh, come on up in here, Zion. Feel good about you. Love you. Celebrate you. If you can't get a compliment from nobody else, man, I got it going on. Oh, look at Jesus. Boy, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Give yourself a celebration, a praise. That's what you do. And that way you don't have to be so starving and needed coming from somebody else. Because folks will look you up and down, knowing you got it going on, knowing you look good, and won't say a word. Won't even open their mouth. What about people that love to be complimented but don't give them? Always want to feed into you complimenting them and you celebrate them, but they can't celebrate you. See, you used to tell me you enjoy the word I preach. You used to say to me, I got something out of that, Dad. I enjoyed that, Dad. God gave me a revelation. But now you don't even part your lips behind these messages. But you know what? I go back home and I say, whoa, Holy Ghost, you showed out today. You made me show my fruit of blooms. I know the world was good. relevant. I know the word hit home. I know the word was relevant. Hey, Holy Spirit, I thank you for the word. But I didn't need him to tell me that anymore. I didn't need her to say that to me anymore. I know it for myself. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Start saying about yourself, I am highly favored. I'm anointed of God. I'm appointed of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the healed of God. I am the joy of the Lord. I'm the apple of his eye. You better start saying it. Because folks will look you up and down. They won't part their lips to give you any kind of praise. They won't do it. They won't do it because the word hits home. Woo, Jesus. I give you praise in this place. I give you praise. I give you praise. See, I came up in a time where even if it hit home, we were still able to say, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for using the man of God. Thank you for using the woman of God. It hit home. It stepped on my toes. And I go to him and say, you know what? I was guilty of that. But I thank God. Your word showed me a more excellent way. It gave me a way of escape. And it didn't let me be comfortable in my mess. It made me so uncomfortable, I wanted to run to the altar. It made me so uncomfortable, I didn't want to go home and fall on my face and say, God, God, I'm so sorry. I'm undone. I didn't get mad with the preacher. I didn't go out to the restaurant and dog him out. But I said, wasn't the anointing on the man of God today? Did God use the woman of God today? My God, God loves me so much that he will send such a word through my man of God, through my woman of God, that he will send such a word. The word found me where I was. The word wouldn't let me stay there. He loves us that much. He loves us that much. If the word ever found you, somebody tell God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
If the word ever rebuked you, somebody say thank you.
Thank you.
If the word ever reproved you, somebody say thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Jesus. Jesus. I give you praise in this place. I give you praise in this house. I give you praise in this house. There's something happening in Zion. That's so underlining. That's so subtle. That's so subtle. And it's full of camouflage. Y'all better hear me up in here. It's so full of camouflage. It knows how to blend in such a manner that you will miss it with the naked eye. You will miss it by just hearing in the natural. But prophetic people. It's something about prophetic people that you can just throw a phrase out there. And that spiritual antenna go up. And they start saying, I know what you're saying. But there's a spirit out here behind what you're saying. I shook a man up one time when I told him, I said, I hear what you're not saying. I know what you're saying in front of me, but I also hear what you're not saying. Because see, I know what was going on. Oh, come on up in here. It was supposed to trap me. Oh, come on up in here. It was supposed to flatter me. Thank you, Jesus. But it came with a price. And I said, oh, I hear what you're not saying. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't know how to handle that. He started sputtering and going on at the table. He didn't know how to deal with that. Because he didn't expect me to say that. Because see, I knew the underlining spirit. See, open defiance, it is what it is. But this stuff that come in disguise, that's so subtle and so camouflaged and so cloaked. When it comes like that, you got to have your spiritual antennas up. And it's something about prophetic people and people that discern.
Yes, sir.
That discern it. That have a gift to discern spirits. That they're able to detect. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but something still ain't quite kosher. Something, you're saying all the right things. You're doing all the right things. But there's an element missing. There's an element of truth.
That's it. Truth.
Okay, see, I'm going to just pause right now, okay? There's an element of truth that's missing. And there's something in your inner part that gives an indication, that gives a warning, that and I know what they're saying, I know what they're doing, but God said it is not real. God said it's not real. The Holy Ghost in me. It said rejected. Rejected. It's not real. It's not the truth. It's not me. Come on, Zion. Absalom. Absalom. And this, thank you. This spirit of Absalom has absolutely no gender. It could be male or female. It was just predominant at that time it's noted at that time with him. But it was found in Jezebel. It was found in Delilah.
Yes.
Come on now. It was found in Vashti. So it could be male or female. It has no gender. Just like the spirit of Jezebel. It was found in Judas. Oh, come on up in here. It was in the sons of Korah and company. It was in Absalom.
That's right.
All right, all right, all right. These spirits have no gender. Sometimes they are more prevalent in being used with certain genders than others. But in essence, these spirits can use whoever, male or female. Male or female. So here with this Absalom spirit that is in the land, that is moving so subtle. And do you know what the Lord told me? He says, Josh, I'm going to give you a revelation. He said, but this revelation you cannot give to the church. It's only three people in the congregation that you must speak this revelation to. You cannot tell the entire church because the entire church is not ready. He says, and I'm going to tell you the three people that I want you to release this revelation that I'm giving you. I want you to release it to three people in the church because they're going to pray over the thing. They're going to wage warfare over it on your behalf and on the behalf of what God is taking the ministry. And the next thing, step, level that he's going to do for the ministry, it all ties into this revelation that he's given me. And so I said, okay, I hear you, Lord. I'll do that. And I waited on the name. He gave me the names of the three persons to release the revelation to. And so certainly when I do call you or come to you at some point this week, you will know that you're one of the three. Amen. But here in looking at this Absalom spirit, I'm going to have to take this jacket off. I see, Jeremiah, you messed me up this morning because I didn't know I was going to preach. So I didn't bring the extra change of clothes. Amen. So you're going to have to dismantle after church and give me your clothes. Amen. But this Absalom spirit here, and this subtle spirit to charm. And again, let me just reemphasize the fact that let none of you be so starving for attention that you are so moved by flattery and compliments and not able to realize when there's a hidden agenda that's attached to it. There's a price attached to it. Be able to recognize what's going on. And then too, sometimes in certain seasons, this is not to make anybody paranoid or suspicious, but in certain seasons, when you just get a whole lot of compliments, beware. Just start taking inventory and beware and tune in to Holy Spirit and say, now, Holy Spirit, all of these compliments that I'm getting, is there a trap down the road? Is there a snare down the road? I remember when we was hearing things, my wife and I, when we was hearing so many people saying, you know, they just nice. They just kind. They love people. They just love people. And they kind folks and they're nice. And we was hearing that so often. And right behind came the users. They were saying we were kind, we was nice, we just love people. That meant they wanted money. That meant they wanted some money. Come on here now. It wasn't so much that we was kind. I think they were recognizing kindness for the sake of being kind-hearted, tender-hearted, and a heart after God's own heart, but an opportunity to get something. See, it's quiet in Zion, but that's okay. I'm going to keep talking. To get something. It was an agenda to for us to go in our pockets and give them our money. It wasn't just for the fact that I recognize you as the Bible says, David was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't like that. It was like, okay, you sort of kind-hearted and you don't mind doing for people. So I'm going to see, can I get some out of you? We'll use them. Exactly. So we had to recognize and not be drawn into the fact that they was calling us kind. And be so gullible. Exactly. So now hear this Absalom spirit in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 25. I said, Lord, I hear you. I understand, God, what's going on and why you're giving me this particular passage of scripture here, and that you're causing me to look at the other character flaw of Absalom that is so not looked at and so not observed and given caution to. Absalom was born with pedigree and potential. He arrived on the scene in Hebron and moved at an early age to Jerusalem when the amazing city became Israel's capital city. Absalom was a favorite of his dad and of the Jewish people as well. He was charismatic and had a great love for protocol and pizzazz. He was the most handsome man in all Israel. The Bible says that about him. There was none other. He was to be praised, and for he was to be praised for his beauty, for his features, his outward features. He was to be praised for all of that. And people would look upon him and they were just drawn in. They were just drawn in by him when they came in his presence. And I had a young man in my second church that I pastored. And I knew that the young man was spoiled. He was so spoiled, and he just thought everybody should do for him. You know, he had this sense of entitlement. So, but he also carried a spirit. Let me get y'all attention. He carried a spirit to draw people in. So I noticed when folks would come to the ministry, everybody was suddenly drawn to him. All of a sudden there in my second church, people that were not paying tithes, they were bringing him big time gifts, expensive gifts, suits and you know, little gadgets and all this expensive stuff. But yet when it came to supporting the church, they always put up a poor mouth. But this brother carried a kind of spirit that just drew people in, and folks just started giving him clothes and giving jewelry and giving gifts to him. And you know, you ain't hating on nobody, but you're wondering, what is going on? That all of a sudden folks just coming in, and I know when it's a season for people to be blessed. You know, we do all go through seasons where God bless us and he calls his people to bless us. But I don't believe that is the case if the ministry is struggling and you're supposed to be part of the solution. Come on here now. You're supposed to have a burden for the ministry. Come on, Zion. Don't get quiet on me now. You're supposed to have a burden for the ministry. And it's so much so that you don't like when anything go lacking.
That's right.
That if it was up to you, everything that would go lacking, you would try to fill the void.
That's right.
With what you can do. With what you can give.
That's right.
Oh, it's tight in Zion this morning. But we're going straight down the middle. So here it is. And I said, now look at this spirit on this boy. Spirit on this young man. Just folks just coming in. They're drawn to him and just given to him. And the Lord told me way back then, that was in the early 2000, well, actually late 90s, early 2000. And the Lord told me then, he says, it's the spirit of charm that this young man carries. He carries see, when folks tell you you're very charming, they're like, oh, compliment. The spirit of charm is a demon.
Wow.
It's a demon. It's a demon of witchcraft.
Yeah.
It's a demon to bewitch and to draw you in. And see, I came up in an era where there were people that envied and they coveted other folks' stuff. so strongly that it worked like a demon. It worked like a force. It worked like a spirit. And before you know it, you're giving people stuff. You're taking the clothes off your back and the food at your house. And you just, and God ain't telling you to do it. God is not leading you to do it. But they have a way of drawing and pulling things out of you. And they played the system for so long that they bring that same spirit into the church to play the church. And they start to draw from people and get folks to just give to them. It's a spirit of charm.